Imagine two women of a certain age and from a certain era coming together for lunch and a chance to talk. They're friends, but they also bring new meaning to the term frenemy. We're going to emphasize the friend side, but just remember there's a little bit of that frenemy element to it. And as they're talking, they're saying, you know, we'll always be bosom buddies, friends, sisters, and pals. If life should reject you, there's me to protect you. And one says, if I say that your tongue is vicious, and the other says, and if I call you uncouth, it's simply, they say together, it's simply who else? But a bosom buddy will sit down and tell you the truth. One says, though now and again, I'm aware that my candid opinion can sting. I love that phrase, candid opinion. And the other says, though often my frank observation might scald. By the way, I've been meaning to tell you for years, you should keep your hair natural like mine. To which the other responds, if I kept my hair natural like yours, I'd be bald. But always we'll be dear companions, cronies, mates. We'll always be together as friends. One says again, and I feel it's my duty to tell you it's time to adjust your age. She has an acting background. You try to be Peg of My Heart when you're really Lady Macbeth. Exactly how old are you now? Tell me the truth. To which the other responds, well, then how old do you think I am? And then she responds, oh, somewhere between 40 and death. But we'll always be bosom buddies for aid and affection, for help and direction, for loyalty and love. Remember, who else can you turn to but your bosom buddy? We'll sit down and level and give you the devil. We'll sit down and tell you the truth. Interesting in that exchange. Maybe there's a lot of truth telling, but you kind of wonder about it. On the other hand, you have the person who can overindulge in kindness and compassion and friendliness and even grace. When a friend has an issue without speaking to, well, what's going on here? It's not just, yes, like the fellow said, my brother's dating his girlfriend again. She's the one that broke his phone. The one who two times before told him, this is not going to work. But then she comes back and he takes her back. Do you just hold his hand and say, well, maybe this time, third time will be the charm? Or do you just say, wake up and smell the coffee? Or someone saying, you know, in a bad job situation, is taking a job. I wasn't desperate, but it's because sometimes you got to get a job. But no, took a job, and the work environment is not good. Does the friend just say, gosh, that's really bad? Or does the friend say, for the last 3-4 jobs, it's been the same profile? Maybe it's you. We need to hear, at different times, truth spoken, but also with grace. We need to have it put out there in front of us. Again, why are you dating this person? Oh, just, you're dating this person, oh, you poor thing, not speaking. Or calling someone on truth, but having no love. We need both. Focusing here on John's gospel, three things come to mind. And the first is that Jesus came to us to live here. He became the Word who became flesh. He was the Word who became flesh. Living very much the everyday life. When I was in Capernaum, now 3 years ago, they had the foundations pretty much back to the time of Jesus. Fishing. I mean, it's called a city in Scripture, but do not think Dallas. Do not even think Mesquite, 2025. Think village. Think again, I'm thinking maybe a Cross Creek subdivision, and move all, you get the same square footage, but move all those houses tight together. So think of a large village, a small town, all tight there together. And they've got at the synagogue, the white stones are from a later synagogue. Below that are black ones. And they said that would be from the time of Jesus. And so you're sitting there or standing there in this synagogue going, oh my gosh, these words from Scripture, this is where they were spoken, where incidents happened. And seeing it all there tied together, all I could think was, it's a village. And for those of you who are familiar with Fiddler on the Roof, it's Anatevka. In fact, the rest of that day, the soundtrack to Fiddler on the Roof went through my head rent-free. And so that is where he lived, in this tight community where everybody knows everybody's business. Everyday life. As a carpenter, and with that word, it meant he would have worked with wood, but also would have worked with stone, would have been in many work projects. Later, we went to Sepphoris, just 3 miles away. It was a Gentile city. Galilee was majority Jewish, but had a large Gentile population. And Sepphoris was an administrative city, and from the perspective of the Roman government, that's the town that counted. Nazareth is just another one of those Jewish towns. But realizing the construction projects they had there, and you're walking, of course, down the street, it's the ruins, but you're thinking, wow, Joseph would have worked on a project here. Imagine Jesus as a young boy being trained in the profession, coming alongside. We're at one, kind of below one house. And all I could think was, did Jesus work on the plumbing here? Something to think about. In The Chosen, they have a conversation early in the series, and I want to say it was Little James was being asked, well, how did you meet Jesus? And he said, we were on a construction project together, a building project. And someone said, well, what were you building? Well, I don't want to say, Mary Magdalene, you know, Mary, woman's prison. And Mary says, basically, don't worry, there's nothing you can say, it'll shock me. He said, it was a latrine. Okay. Money. Was this stink? Didn't think so. Good paying job. And that was the life in which he lived. The idea, why at 30 did he begin his work? Well, the idea that Joseph had died at some point. He is the oldest son. He's the breadwinner. He's got to get those sisters, because he had at least two from Scripture. Probably got the sisters married. And, of course, the thing coming home for the date and having Jesus at the door. Oh, good gracious. Anyway. But the brothers, making sure they're squared away and that mother can be provided, that that's covered. And then he's freed out to do the work. So remember, he has dealt with the job and the home life and the community. Jesus came. The Word became flesh. So first, keep that in mind. And second, he came, it says in John, full of grace. To be the one to hear when we have fallen short. The one who speaks of the prodigal being welcomed back home. Who spoke about the grace. He gives us the grace to go forward when life has broken us. An actor shared about, I think this is actually doing a play, but the characters he meant, the actors and actresses he mentioned, I knew from other venues. But doing a play and basically had a breakdown on stage. I think some other stuff was generating the breakdown. But the actress he was playing, you know, opposite picked up on, he's not right. And so basically did some ad-libs to get him off stage and to conclude that scene, so he could complete his breakdown off stage. And the crowd said, something's not right, but they keep going. But about how do you keep going and building your life back? And he says it's about grace. Facing his issues and going forward. And so we need that. That grace that has been won for us. Forgiveness for sins bought on the cross. Last Sunday we had the cantata. And they're always good. this one, particularly good about this one, was the song where it looked to the cross. You know, towards
Beyond the Manger.
Yeah, Beyond the Manger. That was it. Yeah, Beyond the Manger. Which I thought, that's pretty good. Still kind of keeping Christmassy, but saying there's something else beyond the manger. The cross is, it's kind of a shadow right now, but the cross is there. Reminder that he died, came to die for us, the forgiveness of sins. And so grace is good, and he comes full of that. And also he comes full of truth. Say, this is the way it is. And that can be good. I mean, it is good. I mean, giving you the truth. These are your skills, your, for example, the skills, the abilities, circumstances that you have. This is the direction to go, not this direction. We're just saying you need to face the facts about a situation. Stop doing what you're doing. Or start doing this. Or keep on doing it, but do it better. Malachi, they're speaking about the priests. And of course, Malachi, everybody's got an issue. The people are not being faithful in their worship. The priests are doing a bad job about leading it. But the point is to get them to something better. Well, he said any negative in Scripture, there's always two positives behind it to provide and to protect. And so he's given them truth, and there's some hard things in Malachi. But he's giving them the truth to be better. And that is what is needed as well. Realizing what it is. A woman spoke about her mother and just said, I had a hard time connecting with my mother. She kept saying, oh, only when my ship will come in. And I wanted to say to her, look at your situation. Dad loves you. We kids, we're doing pretty good. And as a family, we're doing that. There's a depression going on, and we're a family of means. I mean, their idea of, gosh, we got to watch the budget means we have to get by with only one maid and one cook. Life's tough. She's realized, look, other people are not living like this. Do you realize how much good you got in front of you right now? Can't you just see it? And yet you're waiting for this ship to come in. The ship is already in the harbor, and that was very hard for her. So again, she wasn't being snooty about what they had. It's like, look, we got stuff. We're blessed. We got to be grateful. Enjoy. That was the word she wanted to give to her mother. Jesus came to us full of grace and full of truth, and you need both. All grace, no truth, leads to licentiousness. All truth, no grace, leads to legalism. We need both for discipleship. Truth without grace is judgment, a counselor told a group of people. Truth, if someone's telling you the truth and not giving you any of the grace, that is judgment. And it sends you to Hades. You need both. A person was speaking about addressing a situation, and another one just said, look, you are 100% right about this situation, but the way you're going about it is 100% wrong, and nobody can hear the truth because of the way you're acting. I cannot hear your truth because there is no grace. On the other hand, there's no truth. You're just giving grace. It comes across cheap. We need to hear both. And during this season, I think as a church and as individuals, grace and truth are being presented to us. And the question is, will we listen? Yes, remember, our Lord understands. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And at this time, maybe you need to hear a word of grace, forgiveness, a reminder that help is here, that there is hope. Or maybe you need a divine kick in the pants. Maybe this is the season, the time to address something that needs to be addressed. Remember, biblical truth ultimately is positive. Even when there's a hard word there, it's to provide and to protect. Or maybe you need a combination thereof. Comes to mind a scene from a story told many years ago where there was a church in the country, and near the church was up the hill from a creek, and down by the creek was a juke joint. And one Sunday, folks were gathering at both. And up in the church, they were singing, and down at the juke joint, they had a singer. And everybody was enjoying it. And she could really belt it out, and all the fun they could hear it at the church. So it was a case of choir, sing louder. And the song happened to be, hymn happened to be, God's trying to tell you something. And so they sing louder. And then down by the juke joint, they could hear the church. And the singer paused and listened. Because the preacher was actually her father, and she was the prodigal daughter. She began to sing the song that they were singing and thinking it's time to get right. She had tried to initiate again with her father, but it had not gone right, not gone well. So again, God's trying to tell you something. They're singing it. She starts singing it. She leads the group on in and right into the church, and then right up to the father she comes. God telling them both it's time to reconcile. And then there's that magic moment where she just puts her arms around him and he puts his arms around her. And during Advent, there's something the Lord is telling us. Are we listening? This is the ending of a year. The class of 2025 of our officers have completed their service, and 2026 will begin in the new year. This is the classic time, though I think there are periodic times in the year to do a review. This is the classic time, season for that review, and resolutions or thoughts of how to structure things differently. Jesus is here. Are we listening? Our prayer needs to be, speak to me now. Lord, you became flesh. You dwelt among us. You know my stuff. All the highs and all the lows. Is there a word of truth that I need to hear? Is there a word of grace? Is there a word that we need to hear? Is there a word of truth? Is there a word of grace that we need to hear? Lord, speak to us that we might hear. In Jesus' name, amen.